Good to see everybody here today. And again, I ask that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. The Lord's been so faithful to me. I often say this, I serve Him not because I'm forced to, but I serve Him because I want to. And I thank the Lord for how faithful He's been to me down through the years. And my desire is to be faithful to Him. Desire that you would pray for us as we share with you the Word of God. Let's turn to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. I want to read a little bit here. This is kind of the preface of what we want to talk about today. But we want to deal quite a bit with committing our way to the Lord. And if you would say where our text scripture would be, it would be in the 37th chapter of Psalms. But we want to read, starting a little excerpt of a situation here that I think will go along with what the Lord has for us. Let's start at 2 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 6th chapter, I'm sorry, in the first verse. David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. So there's 30,000 people that are coming together. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Geba, accompanying the ark of God. Ahiah went before the ark. And all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments made of fir wood, psalteries, timbrels, cornets, cymbals. When they came to Nagan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, first of all, what I want to bring out here is that this was a celebration, that David had gathered together 30,000 people, and they had come together, and they were taking the ark of the covenant of the Lord they were taking it to the city of David, I believe. And the situation was that they had built a new cart. They were concerned about everything that was going to take place with the ark of the Lord. Now, Abinadab, it had been in the house of Abinadab, and his sons were actually there taking it to this particular place. They had built a new cart, wanting to make certain that everything that we do for the Lord is spectacular. And so they did this. Now, it seemed like as they were going on the ox cart, and the ox hit a rut in the road, a bump in the road, and the ark of the Lord began to fall, it seemed like it was falling. And so Uzzah, out of a simple reaction, it would be something that probably all of us would do if we were in a situation where, not even thinking, we go to grab something that's falling. But this is a different situation. It's a different story because it is the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And he was not supposed to touch it. All right? It was not even, if you go in the history of it, it wasn't even supposed to be on the cart. It was supposed to be carried by the priests. And it was not supposed to be on the card. But here's the point that we want to make. It seemed like this was a great celebration. It seemed like it was a natural reaction, an impulse, you might say, that he was doing something, putting his hand to stabilize something that was the Lord's. And it seems like it would be something that was just natural, but the Lord was displeased with it. And so the Lord wants us to understand, I believe, in this particular situation, that first of all, there was a level of disobedience that they had, that they didn't follow what the Lord wanted them to do in the first place, because it wouldn't have been on the cart, and it wouldn't have had the opportunity to shake. But let me say this. When there is something that the Lord is doing, if it's about to fall apart, the Lord can take care of His own. He doesn't need us to stabilize it. I believe that there's all of us have a certain level of control that we feel about certain things, and we look at the work of the Lord, we look at certain situations, and we come to the conclusion that something needs to be done about it. And so what we feel like we need to do is to put our hand on something. There are some things that I'm very reluctant to put my hand on, even though it seems like it just fall into pieces. If the Lord did not give me the right to put my hand on it, I don't have the right to do it. So I need to just let it happen. However it's going to happen, I need to be able to let that do it. So let it happen the way the Lord wants it to happen. All right, now I want to lay that down. That's kind of the foundation of what we're talking about here, because I believe that there are some very clear job descriptions that God has for Himself, that He'll take care of certain things for us. And then there are some things, job duties, that we have for ourselves. Now let's go to Psalms, the 37th chapter. I want to start reading at the first verse. Again, pray for us that the Lord will be able to, we'd be able to share it in the way that the Lord wants us to share it. All right. So fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. Sometimes when things are not going the way that we want to go, that I want them to go, or things are going maybe a little disappointed in some things, we go back to this Scripture, and it's something that kind of lifts us up and picks us up when we read it. All right? Continue, please. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. All right, so I want to write a few things on the board here. So if you'll help me out with what we just talked about. When we read that scripture, it says here, first thing is fret not, right? All right, fret not thyself. Let me read this wrong. Because of evildoers. All right, so we're going to have a little lesson tonight. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Sometimes we get fretful about what other people are doing. We take our eyes off of what we're supposed to be doing, and we put our eyes on what other people are doing. And so consequently, sometimes we can be a little envious, or we are people that are working iniquity. We're wondering, Lord, why are you allowing them to get by with all these things? And I'm having to deal with the things that I'm having to deal with. So it says here, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious. So our responsibility is to fret not. Our responsibility is to not envy because of what we see other people are doing. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be envious of other people because of what they're doing, and it's maybe not happening to us, or maybe we're having to go through some difficult things, and we don't appreciate that. Then it goes on to say, "But they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Then it says, "Trust in the Lord." Now this is a very important thing for us to get a hold of. We have to trust in the Lord. That's the only way for us to get the things that we're needing. Our job is to trust in the Lord. All right, so it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. So it says, do good. We've got a lot of work that we have to do here, right? So trust in the Lord and do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, I enjoy being saved. It's not a drudgery. I'm not forced to do anything that I don't want to do. I do it. There are times that there are things in my life that I don't want to do that the Lord is requiring me to do. What do I do at those particular times? Am I forced to do it? No. He still doesn't force me to do it. Even though I don't want to do it, you know what happens? I go to Him. I pray to Him. I seek the Lord about the matter. And the Lord changes my heart, my mind. I allow the Lord to change my mind. The Lord reasons with us. You know, there's a scripture that says, come now, let us reason together. I can lay out my cause before the Lord. I can say, Lord, these are the reasons why I don't think that this is necessary for me. And I've done that before. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane, in one sense. He reasoned with the Lord. We can reason with Him, and ultimately, we submit our will to the will of the Father, don't we? And so, this is an important thing for us to get a hold of. So it says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. So we have a responsibility to commit ourselves to the Lord. So we have to fret not
Do not envy.
Don't look at what other people are doing. Our job is to keep our eyes off of other people and put our eyes on the Lord. Don't look at what other people are doing. Don't look at what they're getting by with. That is none of your business. Your business is to keep your eye on the Lord. Your business, my business, is to fret not be envious, and to trust the Lord. The Lord knows what's best for us. I don't know what's best for me. There have been many times that I thought that I knew what was best for me and my situation, and it turned out not to be the best thing after all. So the responsibility that we have is to pray to the Lord, to seek the Lord, to ask the Lord about the particular things that we're asking Him about, and believe that the Lord's going to take care of us. So this is our job. Fret not thyself. Do not be envious. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and then commit thy way unto the Lord. It goes on. There's a few other things. But this is our job description. If it was going to be, you're going through a trial, you're going through a test, you're going through something, this is your job description. All right? Those that have jobs, there are certain job descriptions that we have, and we understand what our responsibilities are in this particular thing. One of the things that I learned, and I've heard, I've seen it over the years, there is a thing called segregation of duties. You know what that means? Yes? All right. Everybody's got their own job to do, right? And when you have a segregation of duty, the Lord brings out the principles of the segregation of duties. He said, I've given some, in the body, there are different ones that have different gifts. And not everybody has the same gift, right? There are segregations of duties that certain people do certain things. And generally what we have, if you were to go and apply for a job today, most of us have a resume. So we present a resume to someone and say, these are my the things that I'm, experiences that I have, my education, the things that I want, and we look at the job description to see whether or not we qualify for the thing that we're asking for, the job that we're wanting. Now, there are some things that the Lord wants us to have a clear understanding. When we come to the Lord, there is a clear job description that what we're supposed to do, and then there's what He is supposed to do. All right? So when we read this, it says here, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Lord's going to feed us if we do what the Lord tells us. He's going to take care of us. So our job, our responsibility, is to make certain that we do what the Lord would have us to do. We do these things, the Lord's going to do what He says that He's going to do. And then it says here, and He shall get, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And what is the Lord going to do? The Lord is the one that's going to give. It's not me that I'm going to get. This is my job description, and this is the Lord's job description. All right? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's not that I have to work so hard to attain them and to get them, but I need to trust in the Lord. If I'm trusting in the Lord's going to take care of me, isn't it? That's our job. All right? We'll go a little further here. It says, rest in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. So our job is to trust in the Lord. Whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that we're needing from the Lord, our job is to trust Him. Commit our way to the Lord. Lord, there are ways that I feel like I want to get it done. And if I'm not careful, I'll reach out and I'll try to stabilize something that I see that in my mind is about to fall over. And I'm going to reach out and I'm going to make certain that this doesn't fall over. Commit that to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Now, I know when the Lord tells us that there are certain things that we're to do, of course we have to do those. But what I see in my experience and in the experience of many others is that we really don't know how to commit a situation to the Lord. When I've given it to the Lord, just leave it there. We committed it to You, Lord. This is Yours. We're praying about it. We sought You about this particular matter. And we believe that You're going to take care of it. And I'm going to take my hands off of it. Well, Lord, it looks like it's about to fall over. It looks like everything is about to fall apart. Well, that's the Lord's job. He didn't say that my job was to reach out and touch what is His. My job is to commit it unto the Lord. And then to trust Him. And trust means I step back and I allow the Lord, Lord, if this cart falls over, if this ark falls over, then that's on You. Because that's Your job description. That's what You're going to do. Lord, help me to be able to trust you. Now, most of us will say, Brother Darrell, let me say, I understand that this is much harder than it looks, than what it appears that I'm saying. I've been in situations where I've reached out. But you know what? Touching something that belongs to the Lord can get you killed. You can literally die as a result of putting your hand on something, and you can destroy what the celebration that was going about. The 30,000 men was celebrating. They were singing, and it was a jubilant time. And now all of a sudden, one simple thing happened, and you made a simple reactionary, you just reacted to something. And now all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this celebration, is a death. Because someone made a mistake. And so what we have to understand, one of the things that I've learned in my experience, and that I've learned in watching other people, is what the thing that is most difficult is just to give it to the Lord and leave it alone. Alright? Now, it says, rest in the Lord. Rest. My job is to rest and to wait. Wait patiently. It didn't just say wait. Sometimes we wait and we don't do it very patiently. We wait because we have to. That's the only choice that we have. But when we seek the Lord and we say, Lord, I don't want to just wait. I want to wait patiently for you. So we see that all these things, if I am in the process of this, I don't really have time to worry about what's happening over what the other person is doing. Have you ever been in a job? Most of us have been in job situations that people are looking at what everybody else is doing. And they are making a determination of what they're going to do based on what somebody else is doing. But what the Lord wants us to understand, that there are some things that are not our responsibility. They're His. I have a situation. I've been in real estate for some time, for several years now, and I remember several years ago, there was a young man that generally, when I'm working on a house or something, I want to find different. I'm not a very skilled worker. I can do some things, but I'm not very skilled, and plus I don't have time for it. But I had a young man one time that was wanting some work. And so I said, all right, I'll give you some work. And I wanted him to do a particular thing, and he did this particular thing. But he didn't do it to my specifications. And so I came there, and I asked him about it. There was a little bit more that he could have done. So when I came and inspected the job, I said, well, why didn't you do such and such? Well, you know, this needs to be done right here. And you know what he said to me? He said, that's not my job. Well, that's probably not the best thing to say to a person that's just hired you, right? And that's not my job. But you hired me to do this particular thing. And it wasn't anything that you asked him to do something much more than what he should have done. It was just a little minor thing that he could have done that if he was a good worker, he would have done it anyway because it needed to be done. All right? But he said, it's not my job. I said, oh, it's not your job. I said, well, do you mind doing it for me? No, it's not my job. Oh, okay. All right. And so, you know what? I said, all right, now how much do I owe you for this? Such and such. All right. I wrote him a check and I gave it to him. I said, thank you very much. And, you know, he called me back. He called me back a few times. Well, do you have any more work? Of course, I had other work that I could have done. But you know what? I never hired him again. And you know why I didn't hire him again? Because it wasn't his job. He could have done something a little bit extra, and he would have been working for a long time. But because of what he did and what he said, I made the determination in my mind, I'm not going to hire this fellow anymore. Because he said it's not his job. You know, in that situation, it was a bad example. But you know, in some situations, we need to say, Lord, I'm going to keep my hands off of this because this is not my job. I need to have a very clear a line where this is a segregation of duties. This is what I'm supposed to do, Lord. Help me to trust you. That's hard enough, isn't it? Let alone trying to do what God is supposed to be doing. But what we try to do is not only, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and if you don't do it quick enough, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Well, you can't do it because that's not what you're supposed to do. The Lord hasn't given you the power to do it. There are many, many things that we don't have the power or the ability to do it. So the Lord wants us to realize that we need to stay in our places, spiritually speaking. Lord, you told me to do this. You told me to stay here. Everybody around me is doing something different. Lord, I'm going to stay right here where you told me to stay. I'm not going to get out of order. Lord, help me to do that. All right? All right, so it says here, Let's go a little farther here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, very familiar text of Scripture, 13th verse. There is no temptation that's taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But he will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, when I look at this particular scripture, it says in the 12th verse, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. You know, God knows how much experience you have. God knows everything that there is to know about you. And God is not going to allow something to come your way that the only option that I have, the only option that we have when we face this great temptation, is the only option that I have is to fall. That'll never happen. It may be because I didn't do the things that I was supposed to do. I didn't follow my job description and do the things that I was supposed to do. But it'll never be where God actually presents us with the situation that the only option that I have is to fall. No temptation is taking you. This is a promise that the Lord has given to all of us, a promise that no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. You'll never face a temptation that's unique. Sometimes we feel that they are unique. Sometimes we feel like, boy, this has not happened to anybody else. It's happened to a whole lot of folks. In the same kind of situation, the same kind of personality that you have, the same kind of circumstances that you are under, those temptations have taken place to other people, myriads of other people. And let me tell you, myriads of them have been faithful to the Lord and gone through it. And you can too, by the grace of God. Sometimes we feel like these things are unique to us, but they are not. It's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He knows. He's looked at your resume. He knows what your weaknesses are. He's interviewed you. He's talked to you. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your strengths are. So when the situations of life come your way, the Lord is going to protect you from them. You've got to believe that. You've got to trust Him to that end. That, Lord, I believe that you're going to trust me, and I'm going to trust you, and I believe that you're going to take care of me, and you're going to take me through this situation that I'm going through right now. I believe that. You know, that's encouraging to me, because there are some times that we come across some very difficult temptations and trials, don't we? But no temptation is taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You're going to be able to bear it. Whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord's going to help you to be able to bear it. All right? Now, I want to go a little farther here. Let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark 10, and I want to start reading at the 46th verse. And what we need to understand is the part that we must do, let us do our part. And then let God do His part. Because if we start to put our hands on that which belongs to God, we can get ourselves into a whole lot of trouble. All right? As they came to Jericho, he went out of Jericho with his disciples. Yes. Yes. All right, he sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. Now, Jesus is walking by, going to Jerusalem or wherever he was going. What did it say? He was going to Nazareth? Jericho. All right. And Jesus came, and they came to Jericho. and as he went to Jericho. So here we have a blind man sitting on the side of the road begging. I would hate to be blind. I'm halfway blind. Literally. So I can empathize with people that are blind. I believe I can. So this man is sitting on the road, side of the road, begging, and he hears all this commotion. And he asks, who is it? And he finds out that it's Jesus. I've heard about this Jesus. I heard that he opens the eyes of the blind. And I need that. So he began to make a lot of noise. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to get Jesus' attention. I want him to stop. I want him to do something very special for me. So he began to cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You know that some of us need to be in that place. We're in situations that we need the Lord to have mercy on us. And one of the things that I see about mercy, mercy is undeserved. We don't deserve it, do we? It's unmerited. It's unearnable. There's nothing we can do to deserve it or to obtain it. All we can do is humble our hearts and beg for it. Anytime we need mercy, we're begging for it. Lord, have mercy on me. When we're down praying and we're seeking the Lord about a situation that we're confronted with, we're asking, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm in a bad situation. I need you to do something special for me. And do you know what? The Lord, when we get his attention, the Lord stops and he does something. Well, this is what this man, I don't know how old he was, but this is what this man did. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Lord, have mercy on me. He made such a ruckus that everybody said, "Hold, be quiet. Just sit there. This man is much more important than he's got much more important things than to stop and take care of you." But when they tried to stop him, what did he do? He hollered the more, "Lord, you need to get a, I need to get a hold of you. Nobody else is going to take me to you. So I'm going to make certain that you hear me. I'm going to do whatever it takes for you to hear me." Sometimes we have to do that, don't we? Lord, I'll do whatever it takes for you to hear me. But Lord, have mercy on me. I'm willing to submit myself in any way that I can. But Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. All right. Did you finish reading? Please. He got his attention. Yes. He rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, one of the things that I want us to get a hold of is, we're saying here, that the Lord is saying to him, we're asking the Lord for a particular thing. The how is it going to happen? Is that any of our business? How's it going to happen? That's the Lord's business. If I'm trusting the Lord and I'm committed my way unto the Lord, how it's going to happen really doesn't concern me. So I need to make certain that I keep that on his side. How it happens belongs to the Lord. And what happens? So the Lord says to this man here, is what would thou have me to do? What do you want? Now that what sometimes belongs to us. It belongs to me. Lord, this is what I'm needing. This is what I desire. This man that was blind desired his sight. And said, Lord, what? And the Lord stopped and said, all right, what is it that you want? The Lord already knew what he wanted. But there are times that the Lord wants us to have a clear understanding. What is it that you're asking me for? What precisely is it that you're asking me for? And sometimes we don't even know what we're asking the Lord for. But I believe sometimes the Lord wants us to get to the place that we have a clear picture in our mind of what we want the Lord to do for us. A very clear picture. This man had a very clear picture of what he wanted the Lord to do. But how was the Lord going to do it? He didn't know how the Lord was going to do it, but he knew what he wanted done. Now, sometimes we don't know how the Lord is going to do it, but we know what we want him to do. All right, so what happens here? All right, read, please. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus. So one of the other things is the Lord knew very precisely what he was going to do, and he knew when he was going to do it. There are some times that we're trusting the Lord for a particular thing and we don't know when it's going to happen. Lord, I've been trusting you for this for 2 months, 2 years, 20 years. But the when belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? So this man is saying, Lord says, what is it that you would have me to do for you? He explains to the Lord, I want to receive my sight. And the Lord just tells him, all right, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the man turned around to go, and immediately his sight was restored. Immediately. So what we find out is in this particular situation, it was immediate. There are some times the Lord does the things for us immediately. There are some things that we're praying for. The Lord does it for us when we ask Him to do it for us. I've seen many situations in my own life and in the lives of others that we're praying and we're seeking the Lord about a particular thing, and the Lord does it. He takes care of it just like that. That's wonderful, but that still belongs to the Lord. And sometimes we get a little discouraged because last time He did it for us immediately, and this time He's not doing it immediately. But my job is still not to be concerned about when it's going to take place or how it's going to take place. My job is to trust the Lord, commit my way unto the Lord, fret not be envious, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently. That's my job. That's the job description of a saint of God when they're trusting the Lord for whatever it is, the healing in their bodies, the blessing in their finances, the situation with whatever it is. That's our job. How, when, where, all of that belongs to the Lord. Let Him do His job and let us do our own. All right, let's read another scripture. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11.
Came to pass.
Yes. He entered into a certain village.
Ten men that were lepers.
They stood afar off. They couldn't approach it. It was against code to approach anyone if they had leprosy. Right? They lifted up their voices. Jesus.
Master.
Again, here is what we call out. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on us. It's undeserved. It's unearnable. We need the Lord to do something special for them, all right?
And
when he saw them,
he said unto them,
go show yourself unto the priest.
And it came to pass,
as they went,
they were cleansed.
All right, let's stop there for a moment. Now, sometimes we have in our minds how we want the Lord to bless us, don't we? We have in our minds that, Lord, I want you to bless me in a certain way. And the Lord is saying, I don't want to bless you in that way. That's not what I have in my mind. And so here in this situation is the where. The Lord said, I want you to go to the priest. I want you to go somewhere. And when you go somewhere, I'm not going to bless you right here, right now, like He did the blind man, that immediately he was healed. The Lord wanted these men to do something in particular and something special. So He said, I want you to go. So the where it happens belongs to the Lord as well, doesn't it? So the Lord says, I want you to go to the priest, and I want you to present yourself to the priest. One of the things that we must do when we are asking the Lord for a particular thing, we must trust the Lord's wisdom and why He asked us to do it a particular way, and we must obey Him. This is another thing that we have to do. There has to be obedience. If we're going to trust the Lord, we're going to have to obey Him. The Lord literally tells us that generally, the Lord tells us that there are things that He wants us to do. And when we meet those kinds of the criteria that the Lord lays down for us, then the Lord blesses us. Alright? So when He says, you go to the priest, and as they were going to the priest, it was a process. He said they were cleansed in the process of being obedient to the Lord. There are some times that the Lord says, I'm not going to do it immediately, but there is a process, and there is a place that I want you to be in spiritually before I bless you with this. And there's a place that I want you, I want to test your faith. I want to see if you see the wisdom in what I'm doing. And sometimes you want to say, well, Lord, why would we have to do it that way? Remember the situation with, who was it in the Old Testament? That was Naaman. Naaman in the Old Testament. Naaman had in his mind, he was a leper, just like these men. And he wanted to be healed. Right? But they told him, you go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan, wasn't it? You go and dip seven times in the river Jordan. He said, why do I have to do that? Surely I thought you were going to do it this particular, come out and all the fanfare and all this. You were going to come and do that. But no, he just told him, go and do something simple and humble. And when you go and do that, you're going to be healed. You know, the Lord has His way of doing it. When we trust the Lord, we obey Him, we go to the place that the Lord tells us to do, we go through the process that the Lord Himself, there is a reason that the Lord had them go to that process. There's something that the Lord was trying to get over to them. And we find out that what did these lepers do? They turned around. How many of them? It was 10 of them. How many of them turned around and gave thanks to the Lord? One. You know, sometimes when the Lord does some things for us, we take it for granted. And you know, I wonder, just like the young man that came that said, it's not my job, do you suppose that those individuals, those lepers, needed something else from the Lord? I wonder if the Lord would have been as inclined to give it to them as to the one that turned around and said, thank you. You know, those two simple words, but they have such great meaning. Have you ever given of yourself to someone and they didn't appreciate it? And we being humans, what we say is, oh, okay. You didn't say thank you? What do we teach our children? One of the first things we teach our children, what do you say? Somebody gives you something, what do you say? You say thank you. That's a very important thing, because how do you feel when you've given something to somebody and somebody says thank you? It's something we don't really make a big deal about it. But then when someone doesn't do it, when someone don't do it, we feel it, don't we? We think, oh, okay, I'm gonna go out of my way for that person anymore. Have you ever said that? Oh, you know you have. Yeah. I have too. And whereas all they had to say was, thank you, I really appreciate what you did. And then you would have been, there's something about that that would have given you the desire to do it again. We enjoy people saying thank you. And we should teach it to our, we should continue to teach it to our children. So what we find out, there are some things that the Lord does, the Lord will do immediately. And then there are some things that cause, there's a process. That the Lord takes us through a process. And as we go through that process, then the Lord, there is something that the Lord is teaching us in that process. When this man turned around and as he's going, he's hopeful and he's thinking about, I'm going to finally be able to be reunited with my family. I'm going to finally be able to get away from this horrible, hideous disease. I believe the Lord is going to do it, and I'm going to do everything that He tells me to do. And then as I go, and then maybe they get halfway there, maybe they get almost there, maybe they get to the temple steps. I don't know how far they got, but in the process of their obedience, the Lord blesses them and gives them what grants their heart's desire. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Whatever it takes, Lord. But the Lord wants us to be very clear that there are some things that belong to Him, and then there are some things that belong to us. And there are some things that if we don't do what we're supposed to do, God can't do what He's supposed to do. So if I'm praying, I'm doing all these other things, but I'm fretful about the things that are happening in my life, and I'm wringing my hands, and I'm not sure what to do, and I'm upset about what everybody else is doing, do you suppose that God is going to be one so gracious to us and give us the things that we're asking for? No, He's not. Because my job is to do all of those things. Not just two or three of them, but my job is to do all of those things. Every one of us that have a job, there's a job description, and there are some folks that do they don't do their job like they're supposed to do. They have to do it. And then there's somebody else that has to pick up the slack, right? One of the things that I've learned is that you don't give one person everything. One person is not going to be very good at doing everything. And one of the reasons that there is a segregation of duties is because that when you have this individual, if you put too much on an employee, it just weighs them down. They're not going to be able to get done what they need to do. And so you realize, this is all I want you to do, and when you do this, you do it just like we're saying, it's going to set it up for the next person that comes behind you to do their job.
All right? But if you don't do your job, this person here cannot do his job because your job, his job is contingent upon yours. So in the same way, we're trusting God. We're saints of God. The Lord wants to save every one of us. If you're here today and you're not saved, God wants to save you. But let me tell you, there are things, there are certain criteria that you've got to meet. There are certain things that you've got to do before God can do what He wants to do for you. He's not going to ride over you and save you just because if you haven't met the criteria. It's not going to happen. If you don't do your part, it prevents the Lord from doing His. So if these men, in the process of wanting to be healed, had not turned in obedience and went toward, and they're going to say, well, Lord, I've heard that you just healed the blind, and they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to go to the priest. They didn't. Why do I have to go to the priest? They could have said that. Now, do you suppose if they'd have said that, the Lord would have blessed them and given them what they and healed them? I don't believe He would have. And in the same way, if we don't go through the processes that the Lord wants us to go through, He's not going to heal us. He's not going to bless us either. All right? All right, let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord. We're talking about committing unto the Lord. Can you commit it to the Lord and just leave it alone? Can you just let the Lord do His part, His portion? Lord, can you? I'm willing to do it. I don't want to have some preconceived notion like Naaman did. The Lord, this is what I'm expecting of you. And I believe that if we're not careful, a good majority of us have preconceived notions of what the Lord should be doing and how He should be doing it and when He should be doing it. And those things, those notions in our minds are preventing God from being able to do the things that He desires to do in our lives. And what the Lord wants us to do is to make certain that we're doing what we're not supposed to step over and cross the bounds and do what somebody else is doing. Well, Lord, if I don't do this, then everything is going to fall apart and this thing is going to just crash and burn. And well, you know, it belongs to the Lord. If I committed my way unto the Lord, if I committed my works unto the Lord, then Lord, if it crashes and burns, that's your job. That's not my job. That's not my problem. Let me not take it upon myself. Lord, let me give it to you and you do it the way you feel like it needs to be done. And the Lord will do that. We've got to trust Him. All right, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let's go to Psalms 31, verse 5. Let's start at the first verse. Let's just start at the first verse. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense. We need the Lord, don't we, to save me. All right? For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. You know, it's something when we can realize that we're completely and wholly dependent upon the Lord. If it weren't for the Lord, where would we be? Lord, help us, all right? Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Can we commit ourselves to the Lord? Can we commit our situations to the Lord? Can we commit whatever it is that we're facing and the difficulties of our lives? Lord, can we commit it to you? Can I just give this to you? Sometimes I've found that that's the best thing for us to do is to give it to the Lord, because when we give it to the Lord can handle it. I've never found a situation where the Lord couldn't handle my situation or my problem. The Lord's handled everything that I've ever brought to Him. He's handled it. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. We'll bring it to an end. 2 Timothy, the first verse. First chapter, 12th verse. I suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know what? The Lord is able to keep it. He's able to keep that which I've committed. Now, have we really committed our way unto the Lord? Have we committed our circumstances unto the Lord? Have we committed the how it's going to be done unto the Lord? Have we committed it, the when it's going to be done? Have we committed that to the Lord? When we commit those things to the Lord and we trust in him and we delight ourselves in the Lord and we do the things that the Lord requires of us, the Lord will do the things that we require of him, that we desire of him. Probably be a better way to put that. When we do the things that the Lord has desired, required of us, the Lord will do the things that we desire of him. I desire that the Lord would bless us and pray for me. I want to be faithful and I want to be true to the Lord.